I sing like an angel.
Don't put that in. That makes me look stupid.
You've tuned into the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Do you realize what you've done?
With Rich Lee Bing.
Aren't you hip to the rap music?
And Michael Costanzo.
The internet was speaking to me in tongues.
Unplanned, unscripted, and slightly unhinged.
Good times, noodle salad.
The point is, you now have the ability to be happy.
And now, here's Rich and Mike on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
Woo! Yeah! How you guys doing?
What's up, everybody?
It's time for this week's episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the crispy noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Folks, it's our job to give you the most interesting tidbits in the world of sports, entertainment, odd news, and whatever else we feel like talking about. Isn't that right, Mike?
That's right. We bring it to you with our unique sense of humor and wackiness. You never know what you're going to get here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
That's right. We usually stay to sports, entertainment, and odd news, but you never know when the occasional curveball will be thrown at you. You know, speaking of curveballs and stuff like that, I have to tell the guys this story.
Okay.
On my way over here to record.
Oh yeah.
I ran over a baseball.
Yeah, you did.
And so
he's at the door and he's like, "I got you a present." And I'm like, "What did you get me?" And he holds out this weird egg-shaped baseball.
Yeah.
You crushed it with
your
car.
You crushed it.
I was literally.
I was really surprised. I don't know. I thought
baseballs were like really hard.
Yeah.
They feel really hard.
Right. And wouldn't it like shoot out of the tire?
Yeah.
Why would I be able to run over it?
I don't know. How fast were you parking?
Oh man, it was speed parking, man.
Speed parking. Woo! Yeah. Like 80 miles an hour.
Yeah.
Just hit that ball.
I was
doing
drifting.
75, yeah.
Drifting right into a parking spot.
Came at it sideways or something.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was actually kind of impressive. It's like an egg-shaped baseball. It's
it
crazy.
Is. And it is now in your possession, Mike. So.
Yes, it is. Thank you very much, Rich.
There you go. If anybody wants to see the egg-shaped baseball, contact Mike Costanzo on Twitter, at Mikey Costanzo.
There you go.
Tweet.
Hashtag egg-shaped baseball.
There you go, yeah.
Okay.
Post a picture, Mike.
Maybe I will, yeah.
But anyway, you know, this is a good transition because the first thing we like to do is do like a recap of what happened in the week.
Right.
I chose to do a recap of what happened in the last 2 hours.
Right.
So,
well, what better way to do it, you know?
So what have you been up to besides our egg baseball mischief?
Oh, boy. I got to watch the last 15 minutes of Sharknado 3. We talked about it a few weeks ago. And it was on over the weekend. Didn't watch any of the movie, but I saw the last 15 minutes of it. This movie is utterly ridiculous. I mean, sharks in space, an astronaut gets eaten, then the shark re-enters Earth's orbit, so the shark is flaming as this person's stuck inside the shark. And the movie ends where this astronaut's girlfriend gives birth inside the shark as it's re-entering orbit and then pushes the baby out through a hole she cuts in the shark with her knife arm.
Jeez, Mike, spoiler alert.
I don't care. It's the dumbest movie ever created.
It is Sharknado.
Yeah.
That fucking sucked.
Yeah. it was pretty bad. But you know what? They know exactly what they're doing. This is sci-fi. They know exactly what market they're targeting.
What the hell is up with sci-fi?
They're embracing the whole B-movie, you know, bad sci-fi B-movie genre. Because right after that, they premiered Lavalantula. Tarantulas made out of lava.
Oh boy.
Yeah. What's the next natural disaster animal crossover going to be?
It's weed smoking lions.
Weed smoking lion?
Yeah.
How is weed smoking a natural disaster?
Oh, I forgot about the natural disaster.
I was going to say earthquake.
Oh, wait. No,
I was going to say earthquake a dial.
Wait, no. How about this?
What?
How about this? The lions are so high, they don't eat the food off of the food chain.
So what do they eat?
Like Pop-Tarts.
That is a natural disaster.
Yeah, and it destroys the whole food chain.
The whole ecosystem is thrown out of whack.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bam! I just made
there you go.
Sci-fi.
You
there
are
you
now
go.
A sci-fi executive producer.
Yes, I just made you your next movie.
They're going to be contacting us in about an hour and a half.
Yeah, all right.
Like, hey, guys.
Bam! I'm full of ideas.
Weed smoking lions.
Weed smoking lions.
Is that like the autobiography of Snoop Dogg or Snoop Lion now? What's his name now?
I think he went back to Snoop
Dogg.
But
Snoop Dogg,
you're right.
Snoop Lion.
For a little bit, he was Snoop Lion.
Yeah, so
that's what happened. Snoop Dogg becomes Snoop Lion. He leaves the Lions to learn how to
smoke
pot
and eat Pop-Tarts.
And they eat Pop-Tarts instead of killing the people in their food chain, destroys the ecosystem. I've just created a movie.
That's going to end up being an 8-part movie series. You realize that,
on
right?
On sci-fi,
yeah.
Well, it isn't any more ridiculous than lava tarantulas or whatever.
Yeah, or Sharknado 3. Oh, hell no. That's the actual subtitle.
Yeah.
You know it's bad when the subtitle says, oh, hell no.
We're already saying this is going to be bad.
Yeah, exactly.
So, there you go.
That's what I was up to. What were you up to, Rich?
Well, besides checking up on the Lions...
Making sure that everything is still in balance.
Right.
Nice.
And seeing if they have a drug dealer. I had a pretty good week. I went to see a couple concerts in the area.
Cool.
First, went to see Rise Against.
Okay.
Which, oh, my gosh. Yeah. They are awesome. If they come to a neighborhood near you, go see them. They are awesome. And also, I didn't realize how many songs of theirs I know.
Really?
Because you know what it is? A lot of their songs are featured in, like, sports video games and, like, wrestling video games.
Okay.
Because it's that, like, arena punk rock, you know?
Right, right.
Gets you, you know...
Fired up and ready to go, yeah.
Right. So, chances are, if you've played a sport video game or a wrestling video game, you know their music already. You just don't know it.
Okay, yeah, because I only know, like, one or two songs by them, but if they've been in a lot of sports games, then maybe I know more than I realize.
Yeah, so I was at this concert, and all of a sudden, I'm like, I know this song.
You're
I know this song.
Hey, that's Madden 2000 whatever.
Yeah, right. I know it. Yeah, I know it by the video game that's a part of, not their album. Yeah.
These guys are the Madden band.
So I saw Rise Against.
Cool.
And then after that, later on in the week, I saw Shinedown.
Okay.
At the Tower Theater, which was the first time I'd been in the Tower Theater in a long time. It's a smaller venue, outside of Philly, but not too far outside.
Okay.
And that was a pretty good show. Shinedown is one of those, you know, good solid bands that'll give you a great performance.
Are they the one that does the song Bully?
Yeah, they do
Bully.
Yeah,
you showed me that song. That's a good song. Mm-hmm. Did they perform that one?
Yep, they do Bully. They do, their big hit was 35 and Enemies.
Okay.
So, they got a couple of headbanging tunes as well.
Nice.
And between those two nights, whoo, man, I had a pretty good weekend right then and there.
Nice, nice.
So there you go. Just a little recap of what we've been up to in the week or so since we have last been recording the Crispy Noodle Podcast. But after that, we like to dive into our first round of topics. Folks, it's time for the Sports Sampler.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports.
In your face. Ha ha.
Woo, in your face.
That's right. Sports in your face 24/7, 365. 2015.
What are you, a rapper now? You're just saying 2015 year.
If you just add it to the end of everything, it makes it cooler. You, 2015.
In a rap song, all you got to do is and
2015. 2015. Gun. Drugs. 2015.
Pot smoking lions.
Nice. That's going to be a hit song. In addition to a movie series.
Yes, that'll be the title song.
Yes, mark my words. It's going to happen.
It'll be like a Bond song, you know?
A Bond song?
Yeah, like, you know how like in the Bond movies they have like the theme song that actually is the song?
Yeah.
And it leads, that could be it.
Pot smoking lions.
They're
really, really high.
The pot smoking lions. They might fly by. I don't know. I'll have to work on that.
Yeah, we'll have to write some lyrics
during
the breaks of the show. But for right now, we're going to talk a little bit about some NFL news that's been happening.
So some football?
Some football news, yeah.
It's motherfucking goddamn sons of bitching fucking football!
Ah, football!
Oh, I'm so excited. It's almost time for football season again.
Almost. Not quite.
Almost. Not quite. But we're getting there. It's a perfect amount of time for everyone to brush up on some football rules because there's been some changes. Everyone remembers the Dallas Cowboys' heartbreaking loss, boo-hoo-hoo, to the Green Bay Packers in the divisional round of the NFL playoffs this past year.
Satisfying and refreshing. They're so good.
It was so good.
It was so good.
It was so good.
You know what made it even better is the way that they lost. It was on this weird catch, you might remember, by the Dallas's star wide receiver, Dez Bryant. He caught the ball, and it looks like he's stretching out for it. And he hits the ground, it pops out, and it's ruled incomplete. And there was a lot of controversy over this catch because it looked like he caught it, but then it didn't look like he maintained possession, and he hit the ground, and it popped out as he hit the ground, and people were upset because this weird convoluted rule of maintaining possession all the way to the ground. So the NFL made some changes to this rule. They removed some key language from it. They removed the phrase, to be exact, that the player has to perform a quote-unquote football move. Now it states that they must remain upright long enough to demonstrate that he is clearly a runner. So this seems like a small change. It doesn't really address the issue with that Dez Bryant had with the catch. He said it was a catch. It wasn't a catch. Do you think it was a catch?
No, it wasn't a catch.
It wasn't a catch. So it keeps the essence of the rule intact while clearing up some of the language. What do you think about the new wording of the rule? Does it do anything at all? I mean, it seems, personally, it seems kind of pointless to me.
Yeah, I think it's just the trying forever rid of all that football move nonsense.
Yeah.
They were just getting, the NFL was just getting ridiculed that such weird wording was in the rule book.
But it's still kind of obscure, don't you think? And that, you know, clearly a runner. Like, what does that mean? How do you demonstrate you're clearly a runner? How many steps is that?
I don't know about steps, but usually when you're in a runner position, I guess that refers to, like, you're cradling the ball. You know,
okay. Well, wouldn't that be a football move if you can cradle the ball?
Yeah, but a football move. See, that's the problem where the Cowboys nation was like trying to say anything's a football move. And shut up. It wasn't a catch. Get over it.
Yeah, I agree. It wasn't a catch. He hit the ground. It bounced out. You have to maintain possession all the way through the process of the catch. That's the key part. So this part about clearly being a runner, it's like they're clearing up some, you know, unclear language, but I don't really think it does anything to change the rule. It's basically the same rule. They're just changing football move to clearly a runner.
Yeah.
Which, to me, they are both as nonsensical, if you ask me.
Yeah. The runner thing, I think, is slightly a little bit better. But
slightly,
still,
maybe slightly better, but it's still just as vague,
right,
as
right,
a football move.
The bottom line is,
you got to hold on to the ball.
Yes. You need to catch the ball first.
Yeah.
Before you attempt to make the dive into the end zone.
Exactly. Exactly.
And that was Dez Bryant's problem.
And if you hit the ground, you have to maintain control of it. Otherwise, people would just dive and the ball would pop out, but it would still count.
Yeah.
You know? So I mean, if you reverse the rule, it creates other problems then. Because, you know, then it brings in the whole fumble issue. You know, is it a fumble? Is it not a fumble? Is it a catch? Is it not a catch? I think the way the rule is now, it makes sense. You have to maintain control all the way through hitting the ground. That's the way it's always been for decades, and it's never really been a problem until Dez Bryant and Calvin Johnson back in 2010.
Yeah. But
Because remember his thing with the whole landing in the end zone, but he didn't, you know, maintain possession of it. That's when it all started, this whole mess.
Well, I think that catch was blown out of proportion. It wasn't a catch.
It wasn't.
And, you know, they can rewrite the rule as much as they want to.
It's not going to change it.
It's not going to change it, yeah. I love the Cowboys fans that are like, oh, well, if this is a change, then maybe that catch should have been ruled a catch.
No.
And maybe we should go back. What are you going to do? You can't replay this playoffs.
It doesn't change that part of the rule, though. That part of the rule is still in there. If a player goes to the ground in the act of catching a pass, with or without contact by an opponent, he must maintain control of the ball until after his initial contact with the ground, whether in the field of play or the end zone.
Yes.
It's right there. That's the clearest part of the rule. You know, they're changing the other unclear wording. That is the clearest part of the rule in my mind.
Yes. So, yeah, I think we're in agreement here.
Oh, definitely. I think we're in agreement that Dallas doesn't deserve to win playoff games.
That too. But no, that wasn't a catch.
No, it clearly wasn't a catch.
And get over it, Cowboys fans.
Stop your belly aching.
All right, what do we got? What do we got next?
Well, next up, maybe this is why we're in this next portion of the Sports Sampler. Sports Illustrated recently conducted, well, not conducted, but they compiled a list of most hated things in football. And maybe our, you know, vitriol a few seconds ago is why the Philadelphia fan base was once again named the most hated fan base in the NFL. That fucking sucked. Why can we not escape this stigma, Rich? What's up with this? You know what the worst part is? Is that the explanation from the author of this article is that, you know, the Santa Claus thing. Throwing snowballs and batteries at Santa Claus. How long are they going to beat this horse before they realize it's already been turned into glue?
Well, that was a really good, have you been thinking about that?
No, that just came to me, honest
that
to
metaphor,
God.
That was really good, Mike.
Thank you. But are you eating the glue, Rich? What's up with this weird?
Right, well, hopefully I'm not eating glue.
It tastes good.
Well, you were eating the Elmer's glue, weren't you?
I was, yeah. It wasn't ranch dressing on the salad. It was Elmer's glue. But no, what do you think about this most hated fan base nonsense and the fact that they're still basing it off the Santa Claus incident? We've done much worse since then.
good defense, Mike.
No, look, if you're going to hate us for the right reasons. Don't bring up something from 50 years ago, right?
Well, I mean, I think the people that say that Philadelphia fans are the worst sports fans are the people that don't realize how much pain the typical Philadelphia sports fan has been through.
See the recent season of all Philadelphia sports.
Yeah, but, you know, it's not just that. I mean, seriously, all you got to do is take away the 2008 Phillies World Series win.
Yeah.
And we're in the same boat as Cleveland.
Yeah, that's Cleveland not good. Has a whole awful song written about them, about their main export being crippling depression. We're not far behind them, Philly.
That's right. If it wasn't for that Phillies victory in the World Series in 08, we would have a championship drought that
of
would
like over 100 combined years, isn't it?
Yeah, and it would be on the same pace as the Cleveland teams.
Yeah. I mean, that is a lot to endure for a fan base. You know, and I think they're just unfairly picking on us at this point. They know that we're hated, so they just keep on picking on us. You know, why don't they look at other fan bases once in a while? I don't get
it. So should we deflect it on Cleveland?
Yeah, let's deflect it on to Cleveland.
Fun times in Cleveland again.
Still Cleveland.
Come on down to Cleveland town, everyone. Under construction since 1868. See our river that catches on fire. It's so polluted that all our fish have AIDS. We see the sun almost three times a year. This guy has at least two DUIs. The flats look like a Scooby-Doo ghost town. Don't slow down in East Cleveland or you'll die. Our economy's based on LeBron James. Buy a house for the price of a VCR. Our main export is crippling depression. We're so retarded that we think this is art. It could be worse though, at least we're not Detroit! We're not Detroit!
And then you gotta love, they deflect it
to Detroit.
On Detroit.
So Detroit, ball's in your court.
Yeah.
What you gonna do?
We gotta wait for Detroit to come through
know.
With something.
We need a small Detroit-based podcast to respond to this.
Yeah.
So.
We have to find a Detroit podcast and we gotta have them figure out some way that they can
deflect it to someone else. Yeah. Who are they going to pass it to? Who do you think they should pass it to? After Philly, Cleveland, and Detroit, who's the most hated fan base?
Oh, my God.
I say, because I just hate Dallas. I say it's Dallas.
But see, the problem
their fans, you know what my problem with Dallas fans are? They're all bandwagoners.
Yeah.
You find me a Dallas fan our age, they're not a real Dallas fan. They became a Dallas fan in the 90s when they were winning Super Bowls. Be a fan when your team sucks. That's what being a true fan is.
Well, see, here's the thing. Are we going by which fan bases are legitimately, like, unpleasant to talk to?
No, the most hated. So I guess there isn't any criteria.
Like, I think there's a difference how you're going to judge this.
Well, the list isn't worst fan base is like the nastiest. It's the most hated. So who do you think everyone else hates the most? if that makes sense. And the reasons they give for Philadelphia are the Santa Claus thing and the fact that we had a jail in Veterans Stadium and the fact that we cheered when Michael Irvin got injured and, you know, that sort of stuff. So that's the criteria they use for saying we're the most hated. That's why people hate us. We're not the worst fans. They just hate us the most. Mm-hmm. So who do you think should be the most hated fan base? I say Dallas because they're all bandwagon fans. As a true sports fan, how can you give a pass to a fan base that's almost all bandwagoners?
I can see your argument behind that.
Yeah.
I'm surprised New York isn't on that list.
Oh, New Yorkers are
there are some New York fans that are just, whoo, man.
Yeah.
It's like if there's a news topic that isn't New York, they just don't pay attention to it, you know? And You know what else, too? It bleeds into, like the professional setting. Like, for example, we had Cole Hamels have a legendary no-hitter performance.
Right.
All right? Sure, the Phillies sucked this year.
Yeah.
But that is awesome that we had a pitcher throw the first no-hitter against the Cubs in, I think, 55 years.
Yeah, I saw that.
And guess what?
What?
ESPN ranked it 3 of the most important things that happened this weekend.
What were the other two?
And the thing, one of the things that beat it was A-Rod having 3 home runs in a game.
What?
Yeah, who cares about A-Rod?
Yeah, really?
Nobody cares about A-Rod. I'll tell you what, who doesn't care about A-Rod? The Baseball Writers Association, because he ain't getting into the Hall of Fame.
Oh, snap.
Yeah. I just laid down some burns there. Gonna have
yes,
some
you
ointment.
Did.
Take that, ESPN.
Take them to the burn ward. Woo, woo.
So, I don't know. I feel like New York is like one of those things that's like, all right, calm your horses. You are not that big of a deal.
Yeah, really. There are other big cities on the East Coast.
Yeah.
New York isn't Philly. Like, yeah, Philly.
Boston, you're getting there too. Be careful.
Yeah. But no, it's so true. It's so true that, you know, New York does steal a lot of other people's thunder. But speaking of other Northeast teams, we have other items on this list. One of the most hated teams is, of course, the New England Patriots.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
We
always
that.
Joke that they're the evil empire.
They are.
They
football,
are.
Football is supposed to be the sport where there's supposed to be the most parity. And somehow the Patriots have won 4 Super Bowls and have appeared in six. How about that? They've appeared in 6 Super Bowls in the past,
15 years, yeah.
That's crazy.
That is crazy.
Absolutely crazy.
Well, maybe it's something to do with Bill Belichick, who was nominated as the most hated head coach.
Oh, you mean Emperor Palpatine.
Yes. Oh, I'm sorry. Emperor Palpatine, yes. I'm sorry. Emperor Palpatine.
Yes.
Yes, yes.
It's Brady. Something, something, Tom Brady.
Something, something, deflated footballs.
I agree with that, too.
But, you know...
You know what? You know what else is true about that? It's like,
what?
I want just somebody else in the AFC to win. Please. I don't care who it is. Just anybody else besides the Patriots.
Because,
have a shot.
Because
come
now
on.
Now that I think about it, other than the Ravens, the AFC... It's
has been all Patriots.
Yeah, it's either the Patriots or the NFC wins.
Yeah.
The Ravens, I think, the Ravens and the Steelers, as far back as I can remember. Indy won it once.
Oh, yeah. That was the...
yeah, but 3 in like 15 years.
Yeah.
Right?
Right. That was...
Other than the Patriots, I mean.
Yeah.
Ugh. I mean, is that count accurate, I think?
I think it is.
Yeah, because...
The Ravens won in the Harbaugh.
Yeah. The Steelers won twice. Indy
and
won against the Bears.
Indy won, yeah. That horrible Super Bowl.
And everything else was the Patriots or the NFC.
Yeah.
Wow.
Damn it. Come on.
Yeah.
Just anybody. There goes
that parody, right?
Somebody.
So I want to get your opinion of this one, though. Maybe this NFC team will rise to the top. I have a feeling you can guess who the most hated owner is right now. We've talked about him before for being really stupid.
Oh, really stupid.
Yeah.
Oh, I think I can get this now.
Who?
How about Dan Snyder?
Yes! Ding, 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 ding.
Is it weird that the key word was stupid?
Stupid, yeah. Dan Snyder, yes. I mean, I think that's a fair assessment.
Yeah.
Dan Snyder, definitely the most hated. I mean, look, his team is a racial slur.
Yeah.
And right?
He
and he refuses to change it. He paid, what, $100-some million for Albert Hainsworth?
This is funny you mentioned this. I just,
oh, God.
I was reading, all right. So there's like rumor sheets, you know,
right,
message board stuff like that.
Yeah.
So you have to take a grain of salt on this because this is a rumor, so I don't know if it is true or not.
Okay.
But allegedly, there is a story going around DC that Daniel Snyder was invited to some charity event.
Okay.
And they asked him.
This is gonna be bad, isn't it?
They asked him for a donation.
Right.
You know, like something to raffle off.
Yeah.
So the charity was thinking, like, oh, he'll get us, like, tickets or.
Or a jersey.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Allegedly, I don't know, allegedly, that's why I'm saying this legally.
Allegedly. Right. Right.
According to this rumor that I heard in DC, allegedly he handed a picture of himself and he signed it.
A picture of himself.
And he signed it.
Oh, man.
Forget that. The signature.
Oh,
woo.
That's what pushed it over the edge.
I want the legendary Dan Snyder.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Game worn autographed jersey? Nah. Game tickets? Nah. How about a picture of myself?
Yes. And signed. Yes.
What a pompous ass.
Boy, this charity is going to make so much money off of me.
Yeah. Exactly. $0. He probably bid on it himself. He bought it and then framed it and then hung it up in his home.
Yeah.
Next to like the 14 other pictures of himself. He's the type of guy that would do that, I think.
Yeah. So I don't know if it is true, but it does sound like something that Dan Snyder would do.
It does sound like something he would do. Oh my gosh. So there's a few more most hated things. You want to hear a few more?
Sure.
Most hated player by the fans, Johnny Manziel.
Oh, I guess because he's very blunt and optimistic and cocky.
I guess. I don't know if he's the most hated. He hasn't really done anything to deserve hate.
Like, he just started.
Yeah. So I don't necessarily agree with that one. I can't think of anybody to take his place right now.
Tony Romo.
We're just going to keep on picking on Dallas. Yeah, Tony. I don't like Tony Romo either. But he's also not hated. That's the thing.
Yeah.
You know,
if you're a Cowboys fan, you love him.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I know who you hate is Peyton Manning.
It's not that I hate him. It's
just dislike how popular he is.
Yeah, and he sucks in the playoffs.
He does suck in the
playoffs. The moment you apply pressure to him in the playoffs, he loses.
Yeah, and now that he's playing outside in Denver, forget it. I don't think he's ever going anywhere.
Let's put it this way. He has the same amount of playoff wins as Tim Tebow does in a Broncos uniform.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a stat for you.
That's just not right. There's something wrong with that if you're willing to say Peyton Manning is the greatest of all time. There's something wrong with that.
What? Four-time MVP, future Hall of Famer, right? Is it four-time MVP?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, more than Brett Favre, right?
You bastard.
Oh, now you hate him.
You passed my Brett Favre. How dare you?
You know what's interesting is that the author of this section of the article, you know, picked Johnny Manziel. I think it's very telling, though, that he didn't select, like, Ray Rice or any of the other players that had, like, real serious legal trouble.
Yeah, because the NFL had its hands full with all these players that had random stuff.
You know, it just goes to show you that the culture in the NFL, we don't. Well, I'm not us personally, but fans in general, I guess, don't care that much about the fact that this national sports writer for Sports Illustrated thought that more fans hated Johnny Manziel than hated Ray Rice.
I guess that's a fair point. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this isn't me writing this article. This is a dude whose job it is to follow sports trends, and he thinks that most fans hate Johnny Manziel over. Almost convicted criminals. I think that's a little ludicrous. But here's something that's not ludicrous, something that we can both probably agree on. Most hated rule, the Calvin Johnson or Dez Bryant rule. We just talked about it.
I don't know.
Oh, you don't think that's
I don't know if it's easily the most hated. I mean.
All right. So what do you think is more hated than the Calvin Johnson rule?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Most hated rule. Trying to think of a
I also want to go somewhere other than football. I feel like this whole thing has been dominated by football. Is this
a football?
Oh,
article.
It's only football.
It's only football. Right. Yeah.
Okay. What, makes sense.
Yeah. This is oddly one-sided.
Yes.
Would you want to bring in a rule from another sport?
You
can do. Go ahead. Go for it. Break the rules. My most hated rule is the rule that we have to follow the rules.
Yeah.
Down with the man.
Chaos with everybody.
Yes. Anarchy. Go ahead. Pick another sport. What's a rule in general you hate? Traveling in basketball.
You know what? That is pretty weird.
They should just be able to tuck it under their arm and run down the court. Well, I think that would be hilariously awesome.
Well, no. See, here's the thing. Traveling, they don't call traveling anymore.
No, they don't.
They really
don't. They could take like 4 steps and then dunk the ball.
Right.
And nothing will happen.
So, yeah, traveling is a weird one.
It is weird. I don't know if it's the most hated, but it's definitely weird.
Pretty much any of these, not, you know, the what do they call it? When a rule's not explicitly stated.
Like implicit rules?
Yeah, like it just leaves you open to flaws in the system.
Right. You talk about how, like, traveling is pretty vague.
Yeah, right.
Like, what do you have to do to travel? Do you need a passport? Like, because it seems like that's the only reason they'll call it anymore.
Yeah. Another rule that I think needs to be looked at is probably the designated hitter rule. I'm surprised that baseball hasn't had a talk about
that. That personally annoys me that one league gets this designated hitter position. The other league, the pitchers have to hit.
Yeah.
They should standardize it. I know they're two separate leagues, whatever. No, it's Major League Baseball. It's not two Major League Baseballs or whatever. I don't know what I'm saying.
But I don't know. I'm surprised that isn't looked at more.
Yeah.
In the past, I know that we talked about bats.
Oh, yeah. The wooden bats being extra dangerous.
I'm still a little peeved up that wasn't even a discussion.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, why not switch to aluminum bats?
Yeah, they should look at that, too.
Yeah. So, yeah, there are rules to go around.
Yeah. So, I guess sports fans in general hate all rules.
They like the rules when it benefits them.
Exactly.
And when it doesn't, oh, this rule shouldn't even be on the books.
Well, you know what's interesting? They said the Calvin Johnson rule was the most hated rule, but I've heard a lot of, you know, anger over the fact that defensive players aren't allowed to, quote-unquote, deliver big hits anymore.
Oh, like, you know what I mean? Like, he rang his bell.
Yeah. So whatever rules, what's it called? Unprotected runner or something like that? Or defenseless runner? Those rules. I feel like more people are angry about that. Or maybe that's just a misperception by me.
I'll tell you what. They need to figure out something with the quarterback. Because they have this weird gray area.
Yeah.
Where, like,
that's the most hated rule right there.
Yeah. Like, if you sneeze on the quarterback after he throws the ball, it could be roughing the passer.
Meanwhile, with the Eagles, the Redskins, speaking of Dan Snyder, one of their players crushes Nick Foles. Last year. Didn't get anything.
Yep.
Right? I mean, they got flags, but that was for fighting after the play, I think.
Right. They didn't get anything for the actual hit.
Yeah. So that is a rule that they need to clear up, too.
Yeah. I'd say that would be more likely.
Yeah. Yeah.
To be the most hated.
Yeah. You always hear a lot of outcry about, you know, bad calls or missed calls regarding hitting the quarterback, late hit on the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that wraps it up for the most hated of football. We talked about a lot of very hated things. Any last points you want to make, Rich? Personal hatreds?
Personal hatreds?
The Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, Dallas Cowboys. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just
don't go anywhere this year.
The most hated period.
As far as I'm concerned.
But you know what? Football isn't the only sport with a lot of negative images around it. Basketball, one of the newest sort of semi-villains of basketball has been LeBron James recently.
Yeah, he's just...
He's not been... You know, he hasn't had many good moments the past... I mean, he won a couple of finals, but people are sort of sour on him in general.
Well, he won the finals with the Heat.
Right.
He didn't win it with Cleveland.
Yeah, after making a big stink about switching teams, he goes to the Heat, wins his championships, then he goes back to Cleveland. It was just a very messy, awkward, poorly handled situation.
Yep. But LeBron James is going to be having some financial relief because he just signed...
Because he needs it.
Well, he just signed a big deal with Warner Brothers Studios in a... what I can't believe they're calling this. A content creation deal.
Okay. So he's creating content with them?
Apparently. Apparently now Warner Brothers has the exclusive rights to LeBron James.
Okay.
And LeBron James can make any sort of movie, TV, online content that he feels like making with Warner Brothers.
Okay.
And this is a little bit worrisome.
Yeah, I feel like this is leading somewhere.
Because some people are saying that this could lead to the possibility I can't believe I'm saying this, of a Space Jam 2 with LeBron James, which breaks my heart.
Well,
please don't.
It breaks your heart, but it would be very profitable for Warner Brothers. Probably.
Shut up!
Sounds like a good business decision.
Shut up!
You're not a fan of a Space Jam 2 then?
No, I am not. LeBron James is not Michael Jordan, no matter how much he's trying to be.
Well, no,
period.
His name is different.
No, he's not going to be as great as Michael Jordan. Shut up. Do something else.
But your whole thing has been because Michael Jordan was in Space Jam,
right.
So he was always better than LeBron.
Yes.
What happens if LeBron
And that was
in...
a great joke that I had in my arsenal.
Now it's
and
ruined.
And now LeBron James is about to ruin it. Well, luckily, I'm not the only person that feels this way. Apparently, a random fan also feels this way. This is taken from Jimmy Kimmel Live. A random fan is upset about this as well.
No!
Is there a problem? Is something wrong?
I don't want another Space Jam. You know, typical Hollywood. Ruining my childhood again.
How is Hollywood ruining your childhood by making another Space Jam movie?
How can they make another Space Jam movie? It was perfect.
Are you sure it was perfect, or were you just 5 years old when you saw it and you just think it was perfect?
No. I know it was perfect. It is a perfect movie about, you know, an NBA superstar with limited acting ability who teams up with Bugs Bunny to fight monster aliens who have stolen Charles Barkley's talent. That is a perfect, beautiful movie. And if they make another one,
I don't think you can hear them.
No,
I get it that you like the movie, but you know, there are a lot of important things going on in the world. This is what you're upset about?
Yes! Yes! Only this issue!
And why do you think that's the thing that you're upset about?
Because the real world scares me, and this is all I have.
Yes, alright?
The real world is scary.
Yes, this is all we have.
Yeah, just hold on to Space Jam, boys and girls.
Seriously, though, that was a great...
That was good.
Jimmy Kimmel, man, locking it in there.
He's a funny guy.
But, yeah, so I don't know what this deal entails. Maybe there will be Space Jam 2, much to my sadness.
Or maybe it's just for a cameo spot, you know?
Yeah, that is true.
You never
Warner
know.
Brothers wants to use them for something.
Because
yeah.
You mentioned television and online stuff as well. So they might just want them for, like, a dopey little internet flash game or something. You know?
Yeah, does...
Like, just to use his likeness.
I wonder, yeah, does Warner Brothers do, like, any sort of, like, web-only serials or web-only...
I don't know, but that's a good question, because I don't know if he would do a whole movie. Definitely not a TV series. He wouldn't... That's too much commitment, I think.
Yeah.
A movie, I don't know about a movie. He seems to like the limelight, though. So I could see that being a possibility.
Well, apparently he's going to try and take up more limelight as he just inked this exclusive content creation. Did I get this right? Content creation deal. I just love the wording behind it. Just, it sounds so arbitrary. Ooh, we're
it
signing.
Does.
Welcome to the Content Creation Center. I don't know. Sounds floaty or something.
Floaty.
Yeah, we explore the content. Welcome. I don't know. I feel like this would be the dude that introduced the pot to the lions. This is where he would show up.
Okay.
And be like, welcome to the Creation Content Center. Ooh.
What are the lions doing at the Content Creation Center?
You can come over here and paint a seagull.
So this movie is making less and less sense. So the lions are smoking pot and painting now.
Yeah.
And eating only Pop-Tarts.
Yes.
And that's causing...
With LeBron James.
With LeBron James.
There you go. That's
perfect.
LeBron James' first project.
Sold. It's coming out August 2016.
Yep. Keep an eye out for it. You know what? I'm mentioning a lot of random things that go with pot-smoking lions. I think that might be a cue that we need to take a break.
Yeah, probably just a little one.
But... Well, we won't stay away for too long. We'll come back and give you the entertainment entree. Mike will give you the rundown of what to keep an eye on in this weekend entertainment. And then we'll have the non-fortune cookie odd news. So don't go anywhere. Still more to come on the Crispy Noodle Podcast. We'll be right back.
Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
All right. In this story, we have an Asian man in Alabama who is offering $10,000.
That's his first mistake. If you're Asian and you're in Alabama,
yeah, he's lost is what he is.
Yep. Oh, what all this? What is gun rack? Roll Tide. I love a bear blind. Very good. Roll Tide.
The Asian man in Alabama is offering $10,000 to anyone.
That's 4 billion yen.
$10,000 or 4 billion yen to anyone who can set him up on a date that leads to a relationship that lasts at least 6 months. 29-year-old Ren Lu Yu.
Just give it to the broad. She'll take you.
Yeah.
Tell her some payment plans. You win.
$10,000 in 6 months. What is that going to do? You just get that $10,000, go get the finest hookers you want and bang her out, and then you're good. Like, what is 6 months got to do?
Chinese dude wearing $10,000 hookers. You know what $10,000 can buy you in hookers in Alabama? They're going to buy you like a hooker farm.
They're like, he's winning.
If he doesn't like teeth, he can get it for 10 cents. Oh, he said like a bargain deal.
I got to hear more about these hooker farms.
Yeah,
I
know, right?
To know more about these hooker farms. It's good.
Are they naturally raised?
Grass-fed. Best sucky sucky for $42. They come from bonsai tree. When he's banging, he goes, Osado, Esio, Kamote, Yadio. That's from the Karate Kid.
Yeah, yeah, you're like,
hey! Daisa, come here. Mr. Miyagi, crane kicking. No, hookah farm, come here. Banzai, Daniel-san! Banzai! He walks in. What kind of hooker can I get? Choose.
Wax on, oh, wax off.
Up, down!
In, out, in, yeah. Out, in. Ooh, that feels good. In,
Daniel-san,
out,
remember
in,
when
out.
I told you paint the fence? Oh, and then sand the floor.
Yeah, you're the best
around. Nothing I'm gonna keep down.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
Oh, yeah. We are back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast, rocking and rolling. Making sure that you get a new episode every Thursday. Make sure you're subscribing to the iTunes feed so that you get the latest episodes downloaded to your computer, your cell phone, your iPod, everything.
Any device that can connect to the internet.
That's right. So after the crazy sports sampler we had where I randomly pitched a movie involving pot-smoking lions and Pop-Tarts.
Yeah, yeah.
I think
which is going to debut on Sci-Fi sometime next year.
Yep. I think it's only appropriate that now we move into the next portion of the show. Folks, it's time for the entertainment entree.
And now, the latest in movies.
Guy writes to movies. Dear Die Hard, you rock. Especially when that guy was on the roof.
Music.
I know what that is. That's music.
Video games.
I'm Commander Shepard, and this is my favorite store on the Citadel.
Celebrities.
You really know Warren Beatty?
Yes, I do. I took a leak next to him once at the Golden Globes.
And more.
You were the all-singing, all-dancing crap of the world.
This is the entertainment entree.
Have a good day. Oh, my God.
I love
so,
that.
So there you go, an oldie but goodie. That was the L.A. Beast doing a hot ice experiment going terribly wrong where he sticks his hand into some sort of, like, boiling ice solution.
Oh, my God.
And that was his...
It sounded like it.
That was his real reaction. I thought it would be a good time to bring that old clip up.
Okay.
Because the L.A. Beast is actually working on a huge campaign because he wants to bring Crystal Pepsi back.
Okay.
And he has done this by collecting signatures and phoning the Pepsi company at least 6 times a day.
Wow.
For the last month. And we don't know what exactly Pepsi's going to do in response.
There's no progress report.
But allegedly, L.A. Beast got a letter saying that his efforts will not go to waste.
Okay.
So I don't know.
What an odd crusade to undertake.
Yes. Only the L.A. Beast would come up with something like this. But who knows? Maybe he will be the one that brings Crystal Pepsi back to supermarket shelves. He's leading the crusade. If you want to follow his crusade, make sure to follow his YouTube channel under Skippy62Able. Or L.A. Beast. You can pretty much just search L.A. Beast. You'll find it, and you'll get him.
Have a good day! Ah! Oh, my God! Ah!
I love that bit at the end. I think I need to go to the hospital.
I just love how raw that scream is.
It really is.
It's like, ah!
I mean, he's really screaming.
Yeah, you could tell he's in pain.
Yeah, he is not faking that.
Thank you for getting that on camera for us, L.A. Beast.
Oh, so good.
So there you go. Your random clip to start off the entertainment entree. But now it's time to get to the portion of the show where Mike informs you of what you should keep an eye out for in movies, TVs, video games, and stuff like that. It's time for This Week in Entertainment.
Manny, look at
it.
Pelican
play.
Come on, Pelican.
All right, Mike.
All right.
What do you got for us in the Pelicans?
Lots of Pelicans. Pelicans everywhere.
Manny, look at it. Pelican play. Come on, Pelican.
Come on, Pelican.
Well, I sadly don't have any Pelicans in This Week in Entertainment for you guys.
Manny, look at it. Pelican play. Come on, Pelican.
But I do have an amazing action film coming out this week.
Manny, look at it. Pelican play. Come on, Pelican.
It's the adventures of Manny the Pelican. Boy, he goes all over the city. His first journey on his own. It's a harrowing adventure of a baby pelican. No, I'm kidding.
No.
I would love to see that, though. But if
that's
you want
a double feature with the pot-smoking lions.
That's right, yeah. But if you want to see a real movie this week, check out Mission Impossible Rogue Nation. It's the latest entry in the Mission Impossible series, starring, of course, none other than Tom Cruise.
Woo!
This one has a 78 on Metacritic, so it's not as terrible as some of the previous ones. If you're in for good old spy action and, you know, thriller-type stuff, go check out Mission Impossible Rogue Nation. If you want something in the comedy genre, make sure to go check out this, I guess, sort of follow-up to National Lampoon's Vacation, simply called Vacation, starring Ed Helms, Christina Applegate, Chris Hemsworth. It's basically the next generation of Griswolds try to go to Wally World. This is Rusty Griswold taking his family on a cross-country road trip. It's not doing so well right now on Rotten Tomatoes, but if you want a good trip of nostalgia, if you want a good Ed Helms movie, you know, he's kind of popular right now, go check out Vacation in theaters this week. In the world of video games, we have the long-awaited sequel to the Smash Mobile hit Angry Birds 2 coming out on iOS this week.
I didn't realize they were going to make a sequel to this game. There had been so many spin-offs. Angry Birds in Space, Angry Birds in... I don't know, they had a Star Wars one, they had a racing one. So many spin-offs to Angry Birds, but if you're still into Angry Birds, go check out Angry Birds 2 on iOS this week. I can't believe they haven't run it into the ground yet.
Why don't they have pelicans?
Manny, look at it. Pelican fly. Come on, pelican.
Maybe that'll be a feature in Angry Birds 2.
Angry Pelicans.
Yes, Angry Pelicans. I think that's what the first one was missing.
Yeah.
Does anybody still play Angry Birds?
I don't.
I haven't played it in probably 4 years.
Maybe the kids do. I don't know.
Maybe the kids do. Yeah. I apparently it's still very popular. We'll see. If you're still into it, the second one's coming out this week. But if you want a more narrative driven, sit down and, you know, really dive deep into a video game experience, we have the next chapter in the Life is Strange episodic game, from Dontnod, I think is how you say their developer name. It's the latest hit in this episodic series. Focuses on one teen girl's ability to manipulate time as she struggles to adjust her life back in her hometown while unraveling the mysteries of a disappearance and a supernatural vision of a natural disaster. No, it's not Pot Smoking Lions, oh, unfortunately.
Damn it.
I know. But you know what? This game is a really great coming of age story with a really cool gameplay twist in that you can rewind at any time to undo the actions that you just performed. But of course, every action has a consequence. And I can't wait to play the next chapter in this game. The third one left you with a huge cliffhanger. I'm not going to spoil it for anybody, but because of your actions, it completely changes the course of all the characters' lives in this little video game universe. So if you're interested in the more narrative-driven experiences, go check out Life is Strange. Chapter 4 just came out this week. And that wraps it up for this week in entertainment.
All right, Mike, thank you for that update, letting us know what we should keep an eye out for this week and weekend. But we got one more story here in the entertainment entree to go over, and this is starting to become a recurring theme for this actor.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, the early 2000s and late, well, actually I should say late 90s, early 2000s star Adam Sandler released another box office flop with Pixels. According to this headline from Forbes, stumbles with mediocre $9 million Friday debut. This is becoming a big and not very good trend for Adam Sandler and his movies.
Yeah. I like your big, not very
good.
Good.
Yeah. I was at a loss for words.
Right there?
I'm okay, yeah.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
That, of course, is from one of Adam Sandler's early movies, right?
Yeah, that was Billy Madison.
Yeah.
And that was a good movie.
That was a good movie.
But
he hasn't made one of those in quite some time now.
Yeah. I mean, really, the last one that I saw that I thought was decent was Click.
And, yeah,
but even then,
good.
It didn't really do well at the box office.
No, it didn't, which is a shame because I think that was a good movie.
Yeah.
This is becoming a troubling issue with Adam Sandler, who used to be a big box office draw. Apparently, his movies, I think, total over, what is it, $4 billion at the box office, I think?
Yeah, they've grossed over $4
billion.
Grossed
over $4 billion at the box office. That's worldwide box office. But recently, you know, with smash hits like Jack and Jill and Grown Ups 2 and now this latest one, Pixels, he hasn't been bringing in the amount of money that he used to, which is a big problem, of course, for the movie studios.
Yeah, and he owns his own movie studio as
he
well.
Does. He does. What is it, Happy Madison, I think?
Right. So I'm sure that's not doing well for his own studio.
No.
But it just seems like the last couple movies he's done is just flopped.
Yeah. And I feel kind of bad for the guy because he was so good at one point, and he made a lot of really, I think, funny and charming movies. You know, he had quite a few hits in a row, and now it's sort of like he's on the downside of his career. a lot of other comedic actors and actresses have taken his place. This one article that I was reading from the Hollywood Reporter talks about how, you know, recent upstarts like Amy Schumer and Louis C.K., Will Ferrell, Seth Rogen have really stolen the spotlight from Adam Sandler in recent years, and not leaving a lot of room for Adam Sandler's sort of goofy man-child type comedy.
Yeah. But, you know, at the same time, he also really kind of doesn't really do that anymore. He's been trying to I don't want to say getting more serious, but he's been trying to play more complex roles, and it just hasn't been working out too well.
Right.
It seems like he's trying to do too much, or he's not doing enough.
Right. And that's one of the issues that people have, is that when he steps outside the comfort zone of, you know, being that goofy dude, he gets crucified. And when he goes back to being that goofy person, like in Jack and Jill, he also gets crucified.
Yeah.
So he's in a lose-lose situation. I mean, is it fair to sort of, I mean, I feel like he's being boxed into a corner here. It seems like he can't do anything right. He tries to, you know, go a little more serious and it flops. And he tries to be goofy and people hate him because he's doing a cash-in. Is there any way for him to salvage this?
I don't know. Maybe he needs to take a break for a little bit and just figure out, like, where does he want his company to go? Where does he want his acting career to go?
Right. Well, he did sign a 4-movie deal with Netflix, and the first one's due to come out this December. So people are maybe thinking that that's his way to try and break out of this slump by getting away from the traditional Hollywood model, you know, where he has to try and please executives and old fans and new fans alike. You know, if he goes to Netflix and streaming only, maybe he has a chance to try something different.
Perhaps.
And not be subjected to the same criticism. Do you think that could be a good outlet for him?
It could be. That could be a good... He needs to find a way to hit the reset button.
Right.
Because right now, he's just churning out subpar movies just so he can collect a paycheck.
Yeah. Well, those paychecks, they won't be coming if his movies keep on flopping like this at the box office.
That's right. Can I play a clip to show you how bad Pixels was?
Yeah, how bad was Pixels?
All right. This comes from our friends at Red Letter Media. We've had some hilarious clips from them before, but this is their actual take on Pixels starring Adam Sandler. Let's play the clip.
Yeah, this movie's terrible. The script is terrible. This is Hollywood, big Hollywood money exploiting the resurgence of 80s pop culture interest. And it's just, I don't know. Would you call it sickening or depressing?
I would call it cynical, definitely.
Yeah.
This definitely cemented for me, like, and I've been thinking about this more and more over the last couple of years, but this cemented, like, I am completely over the celebration of nostalgia. Like, this is just like the most soulless thing. And it's like, remember Donkey Kong? Here's Donkey Kong. And there's nothing clever about it.
If you really wanted to go for like the 80s nostalgia, it's like the whole opening of that movie was actually kind of charming with the kids going to the arcade and enjoying themselves.
Once the Cheap Trick song ended, that's when it just dive bombed.
Wow.
So
that's some harsh criticism. But it is fair what they're saying about it. You know, it struck me as a cheap cash-in on nostalgia. And they got the big cast to go along with it to try and bring in viewers, and it apparently just didn't work.
No, and I think that is a fair point to make with some of these movies that try and cash in on 80s fads.
Right.
Is they don't really, like...
They don't pay homage to it so much as just use it. Yeah.
Like, there's a difference between a homage and then repeating it.
Right, right.
And that's been one of the biggest complaints with Pixels, is that they're not doing anything unique with the games. Like, if you want to see these games, go buy an Atari.
Yeah.
and play them yourself. Why are you watching an Adam Sandler movie?
I'm sure you could find a really good knockoff online for free. Or maybe even the original ROMs.
Yeah.
You know?
We were at too many games last month.
Oh, yeah. We could have bought all these games for ourselves, you know?
Right.
There is, you know, they're not honoring it in any way or making it new or fresh or unique or, you know, being funny or witty about it. They're just using the, you know, nostalgic icons of a bygone era to try and tap into an older crowd while, you know, being goofy and silly for a younger crowd. And it misses the mark on both of those, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like between the fact that probably this was the logic at the movie studios headquarters. They were probably like, we have retro video games, which are popular right now.
Right.
We have Adam Sandler. We have some other, you know, heavyweight cast members.
I mean, it was a pretty good cast. Yeah. Yeah, that's it. And they just washed their hands of it, threw $110 million at it.
Yeah, and walked out of the room.
Only got about a fifth of that money back.
Yeah. So, I mean, I don't know how much of this is to blame on Adam Sandler. But Adam Sandler is just going down the tubes right now. Yeah. It's just every
movie. It's a shame to see because he had some really good movies back in the day.
Yeah.
You know? I always liked, what's it called? Now I'm not going to be able to remember it. Big Daddy, I thought was funny.
Big Daddy was a great one.
Yeah. It had that great blend of, like, goofiness with this, like, sort of serious undertone to it of, you know, this guy trying to raise this kid and, you know, actually, like, forming a bond with him. It was a good combination of goofy, serious, and charming, with a little bit of irreverence thrown in there. It was a great combination. Pixels was a cash-in, and that is offensive to people that, you know, enjoyed Adam Sandler's previous movies.
You know, I think that's something that should not be overlooked, is an audience can tell when a movie's a cash-in.
Yeah, well, look at Jack and Jill. Right? I mean, you know, Pixels is another example. I mean, a lot of his Grown-Ups 2 was an attempted cash-in, you know? And it's just not working. You can tell that there's no heart behind the movies. But then again, when he puts heart into a movie like Love, Rain Over, or what is it, Rain Over Me? You know, that serious one he did?
Yeah.
I saw that. I thought that was a really good movie. It was a solid performance by him that wasn't a goofy sort of imbecilic role. And, you know, nobody ever talks about it or mentions it, you know, so he's capable of doing those types of movies, but they don't do well. So then he doesn't do them. He goes back to doing movies like Pixels, and they don't do well either. I feel like he's stuck between a rock and a hard place, you know? He doesn't get success with being serious. He doesn't get success with being goofy, so he's turned into Netflix, I guess. I don't know what that's going to do for him.
Yeah. Well, I feel like the bottom line is he needs to find some way to just reinvent himself or hit the reset button or something.
Yeah.
He needs to do something different.
I think streaming can offer that to him because it's not as high stakes as Hollywood.
Right.
I mean, don't get me wrong. It still is.
But Hollywood is the bottom line. You know, when
if you don't make the money back, you're screwed.
Yeah. I mean, what did you say went in the Pixels?
About $110 million.
$110 million budget for Pixels, right. And they only made $40 million opening box office.
No, $23 million.
$23 million.
They're hoping that overseas will carry it. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's it. That's a loss of $70 million. That's not good.
Yeah, that's not good. Especially for somebody whose movies have grossed $4 billion. He only brought in $23 million opening weekend.
Yeah, and they're expecting to get $40 million altogether when all is said and done.
Yeah.
Like, that's, yeah, you're...
Even $40 million, this movie might, I mean, it won't come out as a loss, but it won't be much of a gain either.
Yeah.
You know? So, I hope the Netflix thing works out for him. I know he's angered a whole bunch of Native American extras with the filming of that one. Do you remember that news story? The Native American extras walked out of the film set. But Adam Sandler said that it was just a misunderstanding, and once people see it, they'll realize it was just a misunderstanding.
For Pixels?
No, for the one coming out on Netflix.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Which?
It's called, what is it?
Is that called the Grinder?
What?
Is that the Grinder?
No, it's called the Ridiculous Six.
Ridiculous Six, sorry.
Sorry, yeah. I should have mentioned I was switching topics to the Netflix thing.
You had me confused there.
Yeah, no, yeah. Well, I was saying that, you know, he might see success with the Netflix thing, but he already has controversy surrounding that, too. So it just seems like he's just has a bad aura around him.
Well, hopefully he can get it back. He can get it back on the right track because, you know, he was a great actor. And I liked his early movies. I liked his movies in the 90s and early 2000s.
Yeah. Billy Madison, Happy Gilmore, Waterboy.
Yeah.
Big Daddy.
Yeah, he had a
click. I mean, he had good. These are genuinely enjoyable movies.
but the last couple or so, tankers.
Yeah. Yikes.
Needs to get with the program there.
Yeah.
All right. So there you go. That's what we got for you in the entertainment entree. But that leaves one more thing left, and that is the crazy and wild odd news and our non-fortune cookie odd news. I've got a lot of stories to share with you. You don't know where we're going to go.
I'm ready for it, though. I'm so ready for it.
All right. Well, don't go anywhere. We'll hit you with the odd news in our next segment. So don't go anywhere. More of the Crispy Noodle Podcast still to come. We'll be right back.
The Crispy Noodle Podcast. Did you hear this?
A California woman who was recently rescued from a forest with her newborn baby after a three-day ordeal, saying that she gave birth, fought off bees, and started a wildfire, is doing okay.
Yeah, I need to know the order of events here.
NBC reports that 35-year-old Amber Pangborn was driving to her parents' home when she felt like she might go into labor. So instead of taking the main roads, which she thought would be blocked due to traffic, she took a back road through a remote part of Plumas County National Forest. Pangborn said that that's when she ran out of gas in her car. While she was stranded, she did go into labor and gave birth to her daughter. After she gave birth to her daughter, that's when she wandered further into the woods and came across a beehive that was trying to sting her.
I'm stranded in the middle of a national forest. I know. I'll head straight into the heart of it.
Yeah.
Away from civilization. Why did she walk backwards? it doesn't make any sense. Or stay with the car.
So she moves further into the forest, and she grabs her hairspray and her lighter and started a brush fire.
Why is everything to the extreme? Get stranded in the woods, go in further. Come across a beehive, fight them off. Need to start a fire to stay warm? Make a flamethrower.
Pangborn said that was when I looked at my baby Marissa and was like, I think mommy just started a forest fire.
You know, like, this is, look, honey, that's the forest fire mommy set. Just have this image of this woman standing there holding a baby just staring out at this flaming mountain.
Yep.
It's like the final scene in a really crappy B-movie action drama.
Well, yeah. Yeah, you know, it's Gone Girl 2. I've always wanted to start a fire.
What a subtitle!
Rosamund Pike, man, you can't believe the crap she's going to be up to in this movie.
I know, it's wild.
They're going to have like the narration. I made sure that there was no gas in my car.
Yeah.
Then I made sure I had the perfect traffic alibi. I left at 5 o'clock during rush hour.
I waited 9 months just to give birth on the way there.
Everybody feels sorry for a pregnant woman.
Yeah.
That's when I took out my hairspray and my lighter.
To make it seem like I was running from something, I sprayed myself with bee pheromones so that they would chase me further into the woods.
Check out thecrispynoodle.com.
Oh, yeah, we are back here on the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
I like this music, Rich.
Yeah, you like it?
I just figured I'd throw that out there.
Awesome. We are about to load up on our next segment. We got done the sports sampler. We got done the entertainment entree. That leaves one segment left.
Oh, boy.
Mike, what is it?
It's time for the wacky, the crazy, the wild, the always fun and entertaining non-fortune cookie odds news.
So sit back, get everything you need to get from the kitchen. Be sure and empty the bladders and go to the bathroom because you're in for a hell of a ride.
People will laugh at you. The Indian elders and the Indian spirits are laughing at you.
Oh,
that's right. They are laughing. But only because the non-fortune cookie odd news is so hilarious.
Yeah, I hope they're not laughing at us. That's not good.
Yeah, no, that would be very mean.
People will laugh at you. The Indian elders and the Indian spirits are laughing at you.
But I'm sure they're just laughing at the crazy odd news. For those of you that don't know about the non-fortune cookie odd news, Rich researches the news, he reads the news, and I react to the news.
He finds these crazy odd news stories that are all completely true. He keeps them hidden and secret from me. I've never seen them before. So all my reactions are my first time hearing this story. It's my gut reactions. I don't know what's about to happen. You guys don't know what's about to happen. And Rich doesn't even know what's about to happen because these stories take us down wacky and wild paths. It's always a blast. Rich, I'm ready. Let's dive on in.
All right, ready for our first story then?
Yeah, let's
for,
do this.
For this week's odd news?
Yeah.
All right, well, this one offends me.
Uh-oh, it offends you.
Yes, I'm just so sad that somebody is doing this.
Okay.
The groundskeeper of a Norwegian golf course said that a mystery man has been pooping specifically on course holes and must be stopped.
So... Are there specific holes that he's pooping in?
Yes.
Which holes?
I don't know if we'll get to it.
The
Norwegian groundskeeper, Kenneth Tenfold, says that, quote, it must be a man because the poos are too massive to be from a woman. This guy knows his crap.
Yeah, nice save. crap.
Yeah.
Oh, so what? He thinks that women can't have big poops?
I guess.
Well, that's true. Women don't poop. We all know that.
Kenneth Tenford, the groundskeeper at the Stavanger Golf Club, says that he has been finding human feces and toilet paper on course holes and the greens since 2005.
And he's just bringing it up now.
I guess so.
Also, I want to point out that at least they're nice enough to bring toilet paper.
Yeah, he's not wiping it everywhere.
He just scoots along the ground.
Yeah. Oh, take that.
Oh, that's gross. You know, if he goes in the sand trap, it could be like a litter box.
Yeah, like a cat.
I mean, that's like... I don't know. I feel like the problem solves itself. Then you just get a shovel and scoop it out and you're done.
Well, unfortunately, he's been doing this on the green.
Oh, yeah. That's not good.
Yeah, he's not being a nice kitty.
No. Bad kitty. Go to the sand trap.
Tenford says to the local newspaper, quote, he has a couple of favorite holes, and we know it is a man because the poos are too massive to be from a woman. He also only poos on weekdays. He's very specific.
Well, at least he leaves the weekends open for all the golfers.
Yeah,
isn't that when most people golf is on the weekend?
Yeah, I guess you know. Yeah, all those businessmen that can afford to, you know, blow off work and go to work—they
deserve to have their ball land in poop. Do you have to play it where it lies?
Well,
it lands in a fresh steaming pile. And you just gotta whack it and just...
It depends on the rules that you agree on beforehand.
Because special poop rules now.
It's not poop rules.
If your ball lands in feces, you're allowed to move it, but no closer to the hole. One stroke penalty.
But there is actually a thing where you say before you start the round of golf.
Right.
Summer rules or winter rules. And with winter rules, you're allowed to clean your ball after each shot.
Okay.
Summer rules, you are not allowed to touch your ball from tee to green.
Really?
So if somebody takes a dump on the course, your ball rolls into it, and it's not on the green, and you're playing summer rules, you can't touch it.
So you just got to whack
that. You
got
to whack it.
Wow. That's gross. There's just crap flying through the air as people try to golf through it. What happens if somebody, you know, tees off? And, like, one of their opponents is, like, angry at him. So he runs and he tries to judge where the ball's going to land. And he poops right there in that spot.
He's able to poop exactly in the spot where...
Yeah, he's a very accurate pooper. Yes.
I think the U.S. government would need his services.
Why?
I don't know. Just land poop on specific people.
We need you to take out a target. Agent Pooper.
002.
002. Yes.
Perfect.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes, I gotta unload a big one. Oh, take that. M, I need the laxatives. Not the Aston Martin Bond. I'm just gonna do that for the rest of the episode.
Right, now pay attention, 007. We have this world-renowned terrorist, but he has a weakness for feces. We need you to go to his doorstep and leave a nasty surprise for him, won't you?
A weakness for feces? What does that mean?
He can't stand the smell of it.
Okay.
Oh, make sure to eat a lot of chili before you get there.
Okay. That is the most horrific James Bond movie I've ever heard of. Is a weakness for feces.
That's the title of the Bond movie. Weakness of
weakness for feces. Weakness
instead
for
of gold feces. Finger, it's brown finger.
Yeah. There you go.
Oh my god.
002, get on that.
Oh, that would be amazing. 002. A weakness for feces. Is Daniel Craig starring in that one?
I don't think he would. Kenneth Tenford says that the fecal discoveries are usually accompanied by used toilet paper. Eyewitnesses have also said that the mystery pooper has a bicycle to drive onto the course.
How do they know that? Do they find tire marks?
Yeah.
Through the feces. Is it a drive-by crapping?
I guess so.
Just rides the bike on and just lets it rip. It just makes like tire tracks across the whole green. That's awful.
Right, now pay attention, 002. We've equipped you with this exclusive bicycle.
Oh, yes. So I have to crap while I'm riding this.
Yes.
That's going to be tough to multitask.
Right, now stick your ass up.
All right, I'll see what I can do.
Stick your ass up in the air. The most direct dialogue ever.
Now listen, 007. Take a massive crap. As push very hard.
As you're bicycling right along the green.
Oh, man. Lift your ass up in the air.
Oh, man. M and Q, man. They're getting really direct nowadays.
Yeah, they are.
So
can't even let me crap in peace. Telling me how to poop.
Another groundskeeper, Frode Jormland, said that the country club is going to install high-powered spotlights to try and discourage the defecation.
Okay. Why don't they install cameras so they can catch them?
Well, that would make sense.
No, they're just going to light up so he can crap easier.
Yeah.
Instead of in the dark, he has a nice bright patch of grass to poop on.
Frode also mentions that, quote, this is someone who, for unknown reasons, must hate the game of golf.
Uh-oh.
Boy, man. These
I've
people...
been found out.
Yeah, it's you? God yes, damn it, Mike.
Where is this, Norway?
Yeah.
Going all the way to Norway.
You fly over to Norway?
Yeah, just to take a dump on just to take a dump on their course.
So
does he go in the hole, or does he just crap on the green?
I think both.
Both?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yes.
He, like, squats over the little hole, takes the flag out first.
Yeah, do you take the flag out first?
Or does he, like, lean up against the flag?
Does it go down the flag?
Just slides down.
Oh.
I'm just going to keep doing that. Oh, man. That's gross.
Yeah.
That's gross, Rich. It's all gross. Right.
Then I think maybe we should leave this story. It's just getting worse and worse. I am never going to look at a golf course the same ever again.
Just remember, people poop in those holes, Rich. Remember that the next time you'd go to get your I was about to say tennis ball, your golf ball.
Wow, boy, yeah, you're really off on your sports.
I really am off.
Are we on a clay court?
A what?
Clay court?
What's that?
Tennis.
Oh.
But you don't even know that.
I don't even know anything.
All right, fantastic.
I know nothing.
0-2, all right.
Let's talk about football again. Football. That's the one with the hoops, right? Slam dunk?
How about we get to the next odd
third
news
period
story?
Power play?
How about we get to the next odd news
sure,
story?
Sure, let's do that.
All right, we're going to China for this one.
Okay.
Chinese police said that a disgruntled girlfriend led to the arrest of a man who was accused of posing as an officer and fully converting his home into a fake police station.
That's really impressive, actually.
Yeah. Police in Wuhan City said the man's girlfriend went to police when he threatened to post a sexually explicit video of the couple online. Investigators discovered that the man had been posing as an officer named Inspector Lee for at least 2 years.
That's so generic.
Yeah. Investigators said that the fake inspector had sirens installed on his car and had his apartment totally converted into a fake police station, complete with an interrogation room, a Chinese flag, and a bust of Mao Zedong.
That's actually kind of amazing.
Yeah, he went all out on this one.
That's really cool. An entire interrogation room.
Yeah.
Like a normal interrogation room or like torture?
I don't know. How do they do it in China?
I don't know. Are you insinuating all Chinese police officers torture their...
I don't know. They might.
I don't know. They might. Yeah.
I've never been arrested in China.
Well, you should get on that,
it's
Rich.
It's on my bucket list.
It's on your bucket. Get arrested in a foreign nation. Preferably not one with lax death penalty laws.
By the way, I just noticed something. The name of this city is Wuhan City.
Nobody says woo around here except me. Woo! 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 Enough! Enough! Enough!
I don't know, maybe Ric Flair has something to do with this.
That's where he comes from.
Wuhan City.
Wuhan City.
Wuhan City.
That's where he comes from, though. That's his hometown, Wuhan City.
My God! What the hell's going on tonight?
Well, police said that the man was posing as an officer for a money-making scheme that involves selling falsified public security documents and warrants to members of the public. The man's girlfriend said that she started to doubt his honesty after some of her friends told her that he had also been flirting with them online. So he got
with her friends,
greedy.
Really?
Yeah, he got too
Come
greedy.
On.
Flirting with the friends. You shouldn't be doing that.
How dumb are you?
She said that he also claimed to have been an officer in the military before he was a police officer. Police said that the man admitted to planting a GPS tracking device in the woman's car.
Wow.
Yeah, this guy was actually Yikes. Acting the part here.
Yeah. That's not stalkerish at all.
No, not at all.
Not at all.
The police also found from his apartment forged documents, fake police uniforms, GPS devices, pinhole cameras, handcuffs, and batons.
Yikes.
Yeah, this guy went all out. I wonder if he just did that just for the hell of it. Like, woo, I want to play this.
Maybe. He should have started a rival police force to take out the real police force.
Should have been his own A-team or something.
Yeah. I mean, he had all the supplies for it, didn't he?
Yeah, essentially.
He had an interrogation room.
He has an interrogation
batons
room.
Batons and handcuffs.
He's got weapons. Yeah, why not?
It's a one-man A-team.
Yeah. Inspector Lee has the skills to get the criminals that the Chinese police don't have.
He will stalk his girlfriend. Inspector Lee is batshit crazy.
What was that?
Batshit crazy. Yeah.
Good save.
I tried.
It's like you got hit with a stun gun in the middle of that.
It was Inspector Lee, damn it.
Damn it.
He shocked me.
He's somewhere around here. Oh, there's a theme music
somewhere.
Oh,
God. Where is he?
Bad crazy. Oh, my God.
Oh. Yeah, damn Inspector Lee.
Yep. All right, ready for our next story here?
Yeah.
All right, this one is pretty weird. A mountain biker in New Mexico who was impaled in the neck by a tree branch managed to avoid serious injury because he was able to ride his bike 20 miles to the nearest hospital to have it removed.
Wow.
Yeah.
I like how they say able to avoid serious injury after he was impaled in the, what was it, the neck?
Yeah.
How's that not a serious injury? What's their definition of serious injury? Getting impaled in the neck is pretty bad, don't you think?
It should be. The biker suffered the injury when he fell off his bike and was impaled in the neck by a 2-centimeter-wide branch.
Oh.
According to a CT scan, the branch extended 1.6 centimeters into his neck.
Oh.
Amazingly, the branch didn't cause serious damage to the patient's nerves, airway, or major blood vessels.
Wow.
Yeah, that's very lucky.
He got stabbed in the one spot.
Yeah.
Any other spot, he would have died probably.
Yeah. At the ER, the branch was removed from the patient's neck. The wound was explored, irrigated, and closed by the doctors. The patient was released with no complications. Wow.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
For getting impaled in the neck.
That's pretty damn good.
Yeah. Maybe they should take his bike away, though.
Yeah, don't bike anymore.
Yeah.
Get a car.
Or at least stay up on both wheels.
You're in New Mexico, all right? Get a car.
What does that mean? You're in New Mexico, get a car.
I got to imagine that there's not really...
It's probably very hot.
I got to imagine that there's no dense places
where
really
you would
to
need
live.
A bike.
Yeah. Like, it's not like Philadelphia. It's not like you can bike from the store to your home or...
Yeah.
You know, at least from what I can imagine.
He should get a car. You're right. Yeah, I mean, it should be mandatory in New Mexico. Everybody has to have a car.
You're in the middle of nowhere. No, sorry, New Mexico.
It's true. It's just desert wasteland, I think.
You're only famous for Breaking Bad. I'm sorry.
That's true. It's so true.
All right. So much for crapping on New Mexico.
Poor New Mexico.
Sorry.
It is. It's just a desert wasteland that has Breaking Bad, and that's it. And this guy.
Yeah. Get off the bike. All right, ready for our next story?
Yes.
All right, police in Buffalo say that a 28-year-old man named Michael Healing stole an empty hearse from outside a church last week.
At least it was empty this time.
Yes, it was empty. As part of a crazy scheme to frame his drug dealer.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
Listen to this story.
Why do so many people steal hearses?
Yeah. It's been a weird trend that's been happening the last couple of weeks.
Yeah, really? I still don't understand what somebody is planning to do with a hearse. But whatever.
Well,
so what was his cockamamie scheme to, what was it, frame his drug dealer?
Yeah. This guy actually had a scheme, if you can call it that.
Barely.
Healing had allegedly stolen $11,000 from the drug dealer and was under pressure to pay up. His scheme was to steal the hearse, park it, tell the drug dealer that the money was inside, assume the dealer would take the hearse, and then inform the police that the dealer had stolen the hearse and was driving around with it.
Okay.
Well, as you can imagine, somehow this plan didn't work.
Yeah.
The hearse was recovered, and Healing is now behind bars on charges of unauthorized use of a motor vehicle and criminal possession of stolen property. There's also another layer to this story, because prior to the hearse theft, the drug dealer also kidnapped Healing and stole his mother's car as collateral for the $11,000.
So the drug dealer already stole a car.
Yeah.
Why didn't the guy just report that car being stolen?
Because he stole $11,000 from the drug dealer.
So how would stealing another car fix that?
Because he'd have to admit to the police that he stole money from this guy.
But if he frames him with the hearse, I mean, the drug dealer could still say, that guy stole $11,000 from me.
But he's a drug dealer. They wouldn't believe him.
I think it would have the same outcome either way. No matter what happens, the drug dealer is going to say, that dude stole $11,000 from me. It's the same outcome, no matter what.
Odd news logic.
Odd news logic, yeah, apparently.
Also, the mother's car is still missing, so.
She's the real victim here.
Yeah, sorry, Michael Healing's mom.
she was just an innocent bystander. Gets
her car
stolen, yeah.
Poor Michael Healing's mom.
Oh, she doesn't have a name. It's just Michael Healing. What was it, Healing?
Yeah.
Michael Healing's mom.
Yep, sorry. Sorry, mama. All right, ready for our next story here?
Yes.
All right, this is just a quick bulletin, but it is a local story, and I think it warrants our attention.
Okay.
Police say that a man sneaked into a central New Jersey home and hid under a bed in a spare room for 3 days before the homeowner realized that there was a man in the guest room.
That is super creepy.
Yeah.
That's not odd. That's scary.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Spotswood police say that Jason Hubbard was charged with burglary in the incident, which occurred in May, but wasn't made public until this week. He's also charged with theft of services because he charged all four of his cell phones in an electrical outlet under the bed.
Four cell phones?
Yeah. Why do you need four cell phones?
He's obviously a career criminal.
He's a busy man, this guy.
No normal person has four cell phones, yeah. I don't think.
I mean, the most I can think
I can imagine maybe one or two.
The most I can imagine is three, because you might have one for personal use, you might have one for business,
and one for
the side John.
Yeah. Exactly. But four?
Yeah, what's the fourth one for?
I don't know. Another person on the side.
Another side John?
Yeah.
That can't know about the second side John?
Well, because, yeah, they have a rivalry. The two side Johns.
The two side Johns. That sounds like a weird romantic drama movie or something.
The two side Johns. Coming to theaters, fall 2015.
They thought they had the love of their lives, but it turned out he was playing all three of them.
Find out why one man will hide under the bed to avoid...
In Jersey. For 3 days straight.
3 days. And just charge his phones for 3 days.
Just hope that nobody's
calling him. Is that why he broke in there, was to charge his phones? He only charged one at a time?
Damn it, I can't do this at home. I have to get all four of these phones going. Oh, I know. I'll break into someone's house.
They'll have extra outlets. I mean, what was his reason for being there other than charging his phones?
Authorities say that Hubbard entered the home when the homeowner took out the garbage. He stayed in the spare bedroom until the homeowner heard a noise in the room and spotted Hubbard underneath the bed.
And that's pretty impressive, though, that he stayed there for 3 days without being noticed.
Yeah.
Without making any noise or anything. How did he survive? Did he, like, sneak down in the middle of the night and eat food and, like, go to the bathroom and stuff?
Yeah, how do you go to the bathroom?
Well, you don't want to look under that bed.
Oh, God.
No, he probably snuck around while the family was asleep, which is really creepy. There's, like, scary stories based on that type of stuff.
Oh, my God. That really is creepy.
Could you imagine someone's hiding under your bed right now, as you're listening to this?
Right now, Mike, you have an intruder upstairs.
Thanks. Now I'm never going to go to sleep. So if you're listening to this podcast in bed, there's somebody underneath your bed right now. As soon as you fall asleep, they're going to crawl out and they're going to do weird things.
Like use your bathroom.
Like, yeah.
Or take a dump underneath your guest bedroom.
What's that smell? Somebody pooped under the desk.
Damn it, I wouldn't have gotten away.
Listen, Bond, lift your butt into the air.
Yes, it's 002. We didn't realize this. It's all connected. It's 002.
Oh, yes. I already hit the golf course. What's the next target?
Who would need four cell phones?
James Bond!
Oh my God! It makes sense!
It's all coming together now!
James Bond is in Jersey!
He's a really crappy spy.
Yeah.
Get it?
You're right.
He hid under a bed for 3 days. He's a really awful spy.
Right, now pay attention, 002.
Yes.
We have extreme budget cuts, and we can't charge your cell phones anymore.
What? How will I charge my cell phones for my two side Johns?
You're going to need to get them charged on your own. Good luck.
I know. I'll go to New Jersey, break into a random person's house, charge my cell phones.
While you're there, leave a nasty little surprise for them.
Okay.
002.
002.
Oh, my God. That's right. He could use four cell phones.
Yeah, he could.
All right. Ready for our next story?
Yes.
Here? All right, you know what? I think it's time for some good old-fashioned Florida stories.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
All right, first one's a quick one here, but it's noteworthy. A naked man was taken to a hospital for observation after...
It's never a clothed man.
No, it's not. It's just not.
It's never... If it's Florida, they're definitely naked.
Well, he was taken to a hospital for observation after he jumped headfirst through the window of an apartment in Orlando, Florida, and refused to put down a large shard of broken glass when deputies arrived.
All right. Awesome.
Orange County Sheriff's Lieutenant Paul Hopkins said that the naked man was wandering around the Chowder Bay Apartments. Wow, what a name.
Chowder Bay.
Gonna get some chowder.
Chowder. Totally different area of the country, but that's okay.
Yeah. I still would like to imagine people are going chowder.
Chowder.
Well, this naked man was wandering around the Chowder Bay Apartments where he was noted not to have been a resident.
Why would he be a resident?
Yeah.
That would make too much sense.
An armed security guard tried to pepper spray him and shoot him with a stun gun. But the Orlando Sentinel newspaper reports that the man still continued towards a random apartment. He broke down the door and then jumped through the window.
So he went from being outside to being inside to being back outside.
Yes.
Okay. I still don't understand.
And jumped through the window.
Why?
Deputies arrived and tried to fire beanbag shots at him.
Godzilla. He just won't go down.
No.
Stun guns and pepper spray and beanbags. A glass window. It's like invincible.
Yeah. Two of the shots hit his shoulder and his leg. Oh, boy, more logic. He then walked back into the building and tried to make it, but he collapsed in a bedroom and surrendered to deputies.
He just gave up. He's like, this is too much work. In and out, yeah. In and out.
Oh, Christ, make up your mind.
So he's outside. He went into the room, then jumped outside the room, then jumped back into the room and just said, screw this.
Yeah, and he...
Too much jumping back and forth.
Gave up in a bedroom.
Totally naked, holding a shard of glass.
Authorities say that the man was not injured.
Really?
Yeah.
That's all impressive.
This. Yeah. This guy.
Wow. I'm telling you, he's like a miniature version of the Hulk.
Yeah.
He's jumping through windows, getting shot with stun guns, pepper spray, beanbag guns. It's pretty tough.
All right, ready for our next Florida story here?
Sure.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
All right, this one is pretty simple and right to the point, but just weird.
All right, what do you got?
Police are working to identify a Florida man who apparently knocked himself out for a few seconds because he was so angry over a $2 bus fare, he repeatedly headbutted a bus.
That'll show him.
What was that?
I choked. I was so excited about a man headbutting a bus. So he was mad at the bus fare. Why take it out on the bus? It wasn't the bus's decision.
Yes, it is. The stupid bus.
The bus said the fare today will be $2. It was $2, right?
Yeah. It's like the magic school bus. The bus is actually
magic
alive.
Magic school bus, yeah.
The bus actually is talking.
Give me your money, peasant.
Today it's $2.
Tomorrow, $3.
I'll make it $5 if you look at me the wrong way, damn it.
Little doors like flapping open and shut. Give me all your money.
Ding, 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 ding.
So he headbutted the bus.
Yes.
It was stopped, right? I hope.
Yes.
Okay. That's a shame.
The Winter Haven Police Department said that the man got off the bus 11:35 in the morning when it arrived at its stop. Police said that the man told the driver he needed to go to another location, but the drivers told him that it was going to be an additional $2 to get to the other location. That's when the driver kicked the guy off the bus, and that's when the Florida man went to the front part of the bus and headbutted the bus for 4 minutes.
4 minutes? I thought this was like a real quick, like, one-time headbutt.
Nope.
Oh, my God. So he was just slamming his head against the bus.
Yep.
Wow. How did he last that long? I'd be out after, like, the first one.
He was angry.
Yikes.
A couple times, He got a running start into making the headbutt into the bus.
What, like a battering ram?
Yeah.
What was he going to accomplish? You're headbutting a bus, a massive motor vehicle. If the driver stepped on the gas, you die. What was he planning
on
doing?
Something. Why doesn't the bus just drive away?
Yeah, really. Just run the guy over. Nobody will miss him. Crazy lunatic.
One of the headbutts did shatter a glass window.
So he did get a couple good shots in on the bus.
Yep. The last one, though, caused the Florida man to fall to the ground and get knocked out for a couple seconds before he composed himself and ran away.
So he just came to his senses. He's like, you know what? This is not a good idea. And just left.
After 4 minutes.
After yeah. 4 minutes of headbutting the bus.
Yeah, and passing out. police are still looking for him.
It's the guy with a huge welt on his forehead.
Yeah. You're going to be kind of obvious. Yeah. Find.
Oh, my God. That's just absurd.
All right. And I got another Florida story here.
All right.
For you.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
All right. This one, we're going to follow the case of Nadia McLean.
Okay.
This is a real name.
McLean?
McLean, yes.
So, it's like the opposite of McDirty, then.
Yeah.
Okay. Is she related to Mr. Clean?
No.
Ah. Oh.
Nadia McLean and her two small kids had just left McDonald's and were next planning to shop at a plaza in West Palm Beach, Florida. But the family's afternoon of errands turned frightening this month when a driver armed with some kind of pipe or crowbar ran towards them and attacked the van that they were driving in a fit of road rage, authorities say.
So another guy attacking a vehicle.
Yeah. This happened when the McLeans were still inside their blue Infiniti van when the man, apparently angry that McLean hadn't turned onto the road to McDonald's fast enough.
Oh, my God.
Started shattering their windshield while cursing.
Wow.
McLean.
He really needed McDonald's, didn't he?
Yeah. Damn you! Give me the McDonald's!
I need my McNuggets now!
You're not turning fast enough!
Yeah. Those 30 seconds are really going to ruin my entire day.
The McNuggets won't be as hot.
They're never hot.
McLean suffered small cuts on her arms from the broken glass. McLean pleaded with the man, shouting for him to stop because she had children in the vehicle, but he didn't. The family was able to get the attacker's license plate info, though, to arrest a suspect, which ended up being 54-year-old Anthony Ritz Jr. He was jailed on charges of aggravated assault and culpable negligence.
Interesting. What the heck does that mean?
I have no idea.
How is he being negligent? He was attacking somebody.
I don't know. I don't know what that is. Culpable negligence.
Negligent means like the you don't do anything. You're negligent towards something. He was like actively assaulting it. I don't know.
Maybe because he didn't help the woman. I don't know.
Maybe. I don't
if
know.
If you're going to attack a woman, at least help her afterwards.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know.
Oh, I'm sorry. I just hit you with a crowbar. Let me help you out.
McLean had just left the McDonald's with her family and was waiting for traffic to clear so she could turn onto the road. She said that a man in an SUV behind her was, quote, blowing the horn and yelling and cursing for her to move, but she could not go because of the heavy traffic. As traffic cleared and McLean turned onto the road, the woman noted that she was going to go into a nearby store. This caused McLean to turn back into the parking lot shortly after. But as she did, the SUV driver, later identified as Ritz, also pulled into the parking lot, ran to the woman's car, took out a metal pipe, and began swinging at the car.
Why do these people always have a metal pipe or a samurai sword or something just ready to go?
Yeah.
Do they leave the house in the morning and say, you know what, I'm anticipating to get into a pipe fight.
Pipe fight?
Yeah. Really, though? Really? Come on. Do you pack a pipe with you, Rich? Big lead pipe for beating people's skulls
maybe,
in with?
Maybe I should, just in case.
Yeah, really. You never know who you're going to meet on the road.
We all need to carry some form of weapons from Clue.
Yes, exactly.
Either a lead pipe or a candlestick, rope.
a knife or a gun. Those are more traditional, though.
Yeah, those are traditional.
You got to go with the candlestick.
I want the lead pipe.
I just can't believe that. And he followed the person, too, didn't he?
Yeah.
That's the craziest thing. Like, after she turns, okay, maybe you're annoyed, but then just keep driving. Just leave her alone. Yeah, he just couldn't let it go. He had to get that one last shot in with that lead pipe.
Yeah. All right, I got one more story for you.
All right.
Another Florida story, actually.
God.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida, and they're crazy.
Yeah,
a lot of Florida stories. Yeah, wow. Ooh.
Crazy times in Florida.
All right, so what else is happening in Florida?
All right, for this story, we're following the case of Donald Howard.
Okay.
43-year-old Donald Howard.
All right. What's going on with Mr. Howard?
43-year-old Donald Howard was causing a scene on the 4100 block of South Haverhill Road. He was screaming at random people. You know, very...
That's pretty normal for Florida.
Yeah, you know. No big whoop.
Yeah.
Deputies on the scene ran a background check on him and noticed that he had an open warrant for contempt of court.
Okay.
So now they have a reason to arrest him, definitely.
Right.
When the deputies confronted him, Howard told them he had to leave immediately.
So, well, okay, sir.
Yes.
We'll see you later.
Yes, now that you've brought up charges, now it's time for me to leave.
What a horrible legal system. So he just gets arrested for, like, triple homicide. And he's like, oh, I gotta leave. And, okay, well, if you have to leave, if you have to go.
We understand.
Yeah, we understand. He has a very important meeting to get to.
Yes. He broke free of the police, jumped in his car, and tried to drive away. He made a U-turn when deputies pulled out their guns. As Howard drove through the backyards of homes in the area, he hit a wood and chain link fence. That's when he ditched the car and ran on foot. Deputies chased him but lost him soon afterwards. While deputies continued to search, Howard made pit stops along the way and burglarized several homes along the way.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, sure. You know what, at this point...
Well, look, he's now already going. Yeah, he's already going down. He might as well have some fun.
Yeah, all bets are off now. So
oh my gosh.
Now he's running and randomly burglarizing homes.
Wouldn't that slow down your escape?
It should.
Like, if your goal is to escape the cops, don't stop to rob more homes while they're out looking for you. You know.
Most of the owners told him to just leave with their property. Obviously. You know, yeah. If some strange man all of a sudden panicked is running through your house, I think you just let him be.
Yeah, don't get involved in that one.
At one home, Howard went into an unoccupied home, took jewelry, a man's shirt, and, quote, refueled on three Capri Suns.
So this whole crime spree is fueled by Capri Sun.
Yeah.
What an ad campaign right there.
Yeah, the drink of Florida robberies, Capri Suns. He went into the next house. The owner of the home confronted him. A bag of her stolen items were later found in a barbecue at the home of a different street called Empire Way, where authorities originally attempted to arrest him. So now he's hiding his loot.
He's a pirate.
Yeah, I'll put it in a barbecue. I'll come back later for it.
Yeah.
In another house... A man told deputies that Howard walked into his home with a bag of jewelry, asking to use his phone, and if you could get him some water, because, quote, I smoked some crack.
I don't know what water's going to help. What does water do? Like flush it out of your system or something? Or?
I guess you get really thirsty if you smoke some crack.
Maybe. I don't know. I've never tried it before. You try it and let me know what it's like, all right?
All right. The man refused, and Howard ran away from that house, leaving behind some of the jewelry. This spree went on for 2.5 hours.
Oh, my gosh.
2.5 hours. It required 5 Green Acres police officers, 20 deputies, 4 local canines, and the sheriff's helicopter.
Wow. This is basically real life Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, this guy just was not going to get caught.
No.
But soon authorities would close in. Residents were able to tip off the officers the man's location as the man would run through their yards. Eventually, the 6 foot, 225 pound man ignored deputies' request to stop and for one last time yelling F you before he eventually ended up on the ground out of breath.
Well, it's a lot of work to do all the stuff that he did.
Yeah. This is actually the new workout in Florida. You know, you want to go on an exercise program? Go on a rampage.
Yeah, commit a crime and just go on a rampage for a couple of hours.
Yeah. That's when police were able to finally apprehend him. Howard faces multiple charges of burglary, assault on officers, fleeing and eluding, damaging property, and possession of drug equipment.
Wow.
So
he's probably going away for a little bit of time.
That guy had a busy day.
Yeah. Yes, he did. Quite a packed schedule. He had to fit all those robberies and what was he smoking, crack?
Yeah, that's what he claimed. Yeah, that's why he needed the water. Yes.
Yeah, because
he was thirsty.
The crack makes you thirsty, apparently.
Yes. Please, if you could, just get me some water.
Oh my gosh.
I can't believe he lasted 2.5 hours.
Yeah. Really?
I mean, by the sound of it, he's just running into different homes. It can't be that big.
I know. Oh my gosh. I know, like, you'd figure doing all that would slow down his ability to evade police, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Maybe not. Maybe he's just the fastest burglar in the world.
Well, there you go. That is the last story I have. Last story from Florida and the last story I have in the non-fortune cookie odd news.
Now, who is this guy in Florida?
It's Florida and they're crazy.
Woo! So, there you go. A lot of odd news to throw at you there. So, I think before we start to do the conclusion to this episode, I think it's time to go back and learn everything that we have learned from this episode of the podcast. Folks, it's time for What Have We Learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
As your body grows bigger,
your mind must flower.
It's great to learn,
because knowledge is power.
All right, Mike, what have you learned?
Apparently, smoking crack makes you very thirsty.
Very thirsty. Yeah. I went through 3 of your water bottles already.
Oh, because you've been smoking so much crack during the show.
Yeah.
Woo! You gotta cut back on that, Rich. You gotta cut back on that. But if your crime spree is not fueled by crack, maybe it's fueled by Capri Suns.
Yeah. Use Capri Suns.
Yeah, it's good for any crime spree.
Yep.
Any time. It just hits the spot, you know, in the middle of your rampage.
Capri Sun, good for a rampage!
I want to see that commercial. It said, like, skateboarding teens, they're just, like, breaking into stores. All with
Whoa,
Capri Sun.
Radical!
Yeah, exactly. We also learned, don't headbutt a bus.
Yeah.
Don't take it out on the vehicles.
That's not going
to
end well.
The vehicles didn't have anything to do with it.
No.
No. And don't do it for 4 minutes either.
Yeah.
That was weird.
Very painful.
Yeah. I'm surprised he lasted that long, though. It's actually kind of impressive. We also learned that we must always carry a weapon from Clue with us at all times. Yeah. I think I'm going to take the candlestick, because I think it would be fun to hit someone with a candlestick.
I want the pipe.
All right, the lead pipe. Nice.
Maybe the rope.
The rope would be a good one. You could, like, lasso people and pull them in and then beat them.
Yep.
Yep.
I mean, the gun and the knife, you know, that's
too traditional.
Yeah.
Those are boring.
That's kiddie stuff.
Yeah, that's kiddie stuff.
Give me the lead pipe.
Yeah. Oh, we also learned about James Bond in this episode.
Yeah, 002.
Yeah, 002. That was before he moved up to 007. He had all the really crappy jobs.
Literally.
Crapping on golf courses, inside the holes. And then breaking into homes in New Jersey and pooping under the bed. It was also pretty impressive because he had to charge all his phones. So he figured,
yep, all 4 of his phones.
Yeah, all 4 of his phones. Very busy guy, 002.
Yep.
Speaking of, sort of, you know, crime fighters, We have a new crime fighter, Inspector Lee.
Yes.
Paid the show a visit.
He leading tased his own me. Team.
What?
Leading his own team.
That's right, Lee. He's a one-man A team. He tased me earlier in the
yeah,
episode.
Yeah, you missed it.
I know. It was very, very painful. The bat crazy. We also learned that Sci-Fi's next hit movie, executive produced by Rich Liebig himself, yes. is Pot Smoking Lions.
Yes, coming soon.
Yes.
To Sci-Fi.
It's the next in the, it's the latest in the series of B-movie specials, you know, Sharknado, then Lavalantula, then Pot Smoking Lions.
Yep.
Check it out next summer.
Make sure to buy stock in Pop-Tarts.
Yes.
And there you go. That's what we've learned on this episode of the Crispy Noodle Podcast.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Yes, sir.
I don't if I know what we did.
And one more note to make before we officially wrap up this week's episode. We are going to go on a little mini summer break.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Take a short break.
But we do this every year pretty much.
Yeah, yeah, we do.
Around this time.
But we won't leave you guys without an awesome podcast, of course.
That's right. So next week you'll be in for a best of episode, which is just awesome. We went down the list of clips that we're playing for it.
Oh, man.
We were laughing just re-listening to them.
It's going to be good. It's going to be really good. So make sure you stay tuned next week for our best of episode.
Yep. And then after that, we're going to be right back on schedule.
That's right. By that point, football will have picked up again, and we're going to have a whole bunch of good stuff planned.
Yep. I think preseason start?
Yeah, I think preseason will start. Yeah.
That's going to be something weird to think about. Next time we get around to doing an episode, it's going to be preseason.
Season.
Yeah. It's also going to be the last major, the PGA Championship. Woo.
Yeah, that's pretty good too.
Yeah. Damn it, Mike, get on my level.
We both have something to look forward to.
Woo.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, we'll enjoy our summer break next week, but we won't leave you hanging dry because we'll have a well-prepared best of show next week. You're going to want to stay tuned and make sure you listen to that next week. Woo. And I think after all that, I think we're going to start to wrap up this show.
Yeah, another great one in the books.
Folks, this is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. If you're interested in more on the Crispy Noodle, check out our website, thecrispynoodle.com. Make sure to like us on Facebook, The Crispy Noodle, and follow us on Twitter at The Crispy Noodle.
That's right. You can also subscribe to our channel on YouTube, where you can find videos of our best bits, or some interviews, and other fun stuff we've put up there. But most importantly, remember to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, where you get the latest episodes downloaded for free, straight to your computer, phone, or tablet. You can listen to us at home, on the go, at work, anytime, anywhere, anyhow. Just search for, download, and subscribe to the Crispy Noodle Podcast on iTunes.
That's right. And if you got a SoundCloud page, make sure to head over and find us on SoundCloud. We're under the Crispy Noodle Podcast. That's where you'll find our mini noodles, where we take the best bits of the podcast. We shrink them down to around two or three minutes, and you can listen to our best bits on the go. You can share them with friends. You can share it with strangers. Share it with people from Florida.
Yes.
Why not?
Always share it with people from Florida so they can realize how crazy they are.
Yeah. What the hell are you guys doing there?
I know. They're crazy. Oh, so many ways to share and get in touch with the Crispy Noodle Podcast. But if you want to get in touch with us individually on Twitter, I'm at Mikey Costanzo, MikeyCostanzo.
And I am at Rich Liebig, RichLiebig. That's how you find us individually on the Twitters. Make sure to follow us. You never know what we might be up to. Folks, that'll do it. This is the Crispy Noodle Podcast. Let us be the Crispy Noodle in your vegetarian salad of life and boring news. Whew, what a show, Mike.
Another good one.
Yeah. Oh, man. Just A lot of stories, a lot of craziness.
Yes.
I'm exhausted.
Yeah, same.
But it was all worth it.
It's always worth it.
Yeah.
Just for you guys.
Yep. So we'll see you guys. Well, we'll see you guys actually 2 weeks from now.
Yeah.
But don't forget about that best of episode.
That's right. You'll definitely want to catch that one. Yep. Don't miss it.
So until then, we'll see you later.
Some of us have great stories, pretty stories that take place at lakes with boats and friends and noodle salad. A lot of people, that's their story. Good times, noodle salad.
The Noodle Podcast, 2015, Kablamo! Oh, get over here, pa-pow! Something!